Hello, welcome to the Faith Focused Discipleship Podcast. My name is Kevin Rognes, and I'm the Discipleship Director here at Faith Covenant Church. Thank you so much for watching or for listening today. As always, leave a comment to let us know how we're doing, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe to make sure you don't miss anything. Today, I am joined by our illustrious lead pastor, Pastor Brad. Thank you for joing us.
Pleasure to be here, Kevin. Thank you for having me.
What's that? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, heading into fall.
Yeah.
Always fun.
We're heading into a lot of things because we're doing something called a capital campaign.
Yes.
That's taking a lot of your attention right now, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So yeah. What, for those of us who maybe are not familiar with the church or how things work in the church, what is a capital campaign in the church?
Right, yeah. So a capital campaign in a church specifically is an opportunity for the congregation to pool their resources toward a specific endeavor that they want to accomplish. Often, a capital campaign has to do with some sort of facility improvement project, or actually just buying a facility, enlarging a facility, etc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And didn't we do one recently?
Yeah, interesting you say that. In fact, so I have been, it's February 1st, I will have been at Faith Covenant for 10 years.
Wow.
And yeah. And we've done one other capital campaign in my almost decade here. Mm-hmm. And if you've been here at Faith, you know what that is, because we renovated the upstairs, the main level of our facility. And I was looking at this today. I started preaching into that campaign, letting everyone know about it, in September of 2017.
Okay.
So, yeah. And so the timeline, you know, was we talked about it, let everyone know about it. And then there was a commitment time, mm-hmm, where we asked everyone, you know, are you willing to commit to being a part of this campaign, specifically financially? Mm-hmm. And most of those commitments in a capital campaign, they're usually for a 3-year period. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a lot of people don't have a bunch of money hanging out that they're just willing sitting to throw on at anything.
Right.
But a lot of people, in fact, most of our congregation said, what we can do is we can take a portion of our giving. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. We can take some monthly gifts and give them every month over a 3-year period. Mm-hmm. Not everyone did it every month. Some people did it once a year, etc. But the commitment is ideally for a 3-year period, or you can give it all in one big chunk.
Yep, one lump sum.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so then if we're starting a new capital campaign, what are we doing it for?
Yeah, so we are very blessed in our congregation that we have a really wonderful facility. Those people who were here before we were, they pooled their resources, mm-hmm, and they had multiple capital campaigns. Mm-hmm. The facility we have is actually been put together in kind of 3 main phases. There was the initial gathering.
Four
main phases. Yep. Forgive me. There was the initial gathering place. And then there was the
which is like what is today our Legacy Chapel.
Right, right. And then the worship center and all the
in between. So there was the what is now the Legacy Chapel on this either side of that. Then there is a classroom addition, an office addition, which is what is today's offices.
Okay.
And now our like coffee shop and lobby space.
Yep.
Then that was like the 70s, I think. And then early 80s, I think 82 was the worship center.
Yeah.
And the lower level below the worship center. And then 87, I think, was the children's wing of classrooms and the lower level below that.
Yeah, good job.
And I only know this because I've spent way too much time trying to figure out where things are on our Google Drive.
Oh, okay.
All right. I found some map of like, here's the phases. So,
yeah, so you think about it. So our congregation is right around 63 years old, I believe. Mm-hmm. And over those decades, each generation of the congregation has furthered the mission of the church in different ways, facility-wise. You know, the original people, they're the ones who got together and bought the land. Mm-hmm. And then the church grew, and then they built a building there. And then the church was growing, so they built another building, and then they built another building. And anyway, long story short, we have this wonderful facility. We have a lot of square footage, but the downstairs hasn't really been adequately touched since the early 80s.
Yeah.
Now,
repainting, but that's about
it. Yeah, and some carpeting here and there. I graduated high school in 1984, so I had my 40-year high school reunion last year. Mm-hmm. And so it's really four decades since the downstairs has had a big, thorough renovation.
Yeah.
The other thing that we want to do is there are some exterior pieces mm-hmm. of our church building that really need attention.
Yeah.
Because we don't want people to drive by our church and look at the facility and assume, because the facility can look really tired mm-hmm. after all of its decades, and they don't want to look at the facility and make an assumption about the congregation.
Right.
And so we are hoping to renovate parts of the exterior with some pieces that will provide a first impression, allowing people who drive by to think, oh, there's something going on there. And mm-hmm. there is something. There's some wonderful things going on here at Faith.
And some of those exterior pieces, too, are about protecting the building from
Absolutely.
The elements and stuff
Absolutely.
Like that, too.
Yeah.
And providing better weatherproofing and waterproofing and those kinds of things
right.
as well.
And, you know, and there, every time you do a big renovation like this, there are unseen things mm-hmm. that cost a lot of money that a lot of people, you know, people might think, well, downstairs, don't you just need to recarpet and paint? Well, there's not air conditioning downstairs.
Yeah.
And managing our commercial kitchen in a way that best serves the congregation and the ministries that use our facility, all these things need to be looked at. Our elevator needs some attention. You know, all these different things that people don't see that go on behind the walls, so to speak, all that stuff needs attention because those people who were before us stewarded the building so that we can use it right now. Mm-hmm. And so we right now get to steward the facility for those who will come after us.
Yeah.
We always stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before us.
Mm-hmm. So one of the next questions I wanted to ask was, what needs does the campaign address? We just mentioned some of them with some of the exterior elements that need some refresh and some just weatherproofing type things. And also like the elevator, there are things in the kitchen that need to be brought up to code. Some of the bathroom stuff needs to be up to code and made more accessible.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other needs? Because I know the basement gets used a lot by, say, like the Moms program mm-hmm. or Meals on Wheels, Loaves and Fishes. What are some of those things?
Right. So one of the things we want to do is we're going to add, we're going to make the bathrooms downstairs more accessible for people in wheelchairs mm-hmm. and in walkers. We're going to create another bathroom, hopefully, by 150, the big gathering space room. And we also want to, 150, the big space where we often have a lot of our big meals together and so forth, we also want to maximize that space for our youth and children's ministry mm-hmm. so they can do big games in there more easily.
Mm-hmm.
But we also still want it to be able to be divided.
Mm-hmm.
And divided well with sliding doors that work really well. Because
yeah.
right now those doors don't really work very
nope.
well. And so the space we have downstairs needs to be highly flexible
mm-hmm.
because a lot of different people use it.
For a lot of different purposes.
Yeah, we have Meals on Wheels, which is an organization that we allow to use our facility. We're grateful they use it. Our kitchen gets used all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Youth ministry, children's ministry, the Moms Program, which is a ministry that was birthed out of this church, helping equip single moms for life. That ministry, we're hoping to create some space for them for their food shelf that they use and for another boutique mm-hmm. area they want to use. While not taking away any classroom space downstairs, there's a lot of things that we want to do so that when people use the space, it's not only user-friendly, but aesthetically pleasing.
Because
mm-hmm. right now, it looks like it's very old and
yeah.
worn.
And some of the carpet is original. And again, like you said, 40-plus years old. So
yeah, that's about...
In a home, you would replace that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so I was also going to ask about how does the campaign work? And you addressed that some. So you will preach about the need for a bit and talk about the need and then you know, start to collect pledges for how much are you going to pledge over the course of 3 years.
Yes.
So maybe I would say, okay, I'm going to pledge 10,000 over 3 years. Here's how it divides up monthly or every 2 months or every 6 months mm-hmm. and so on. Is there anything more that needs to be said about how a capital campaign works?
Yeah, so let me give you a kind of a timeline, actually,
yeah.
from like current reality right now to we're done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that timeline looks like this. One, we're going to have what is often called a silent phase,
mm-hmm.
and we have a be very quiet. We have a covenant pastor who is also a fundraiser. He's going to come in and he's going to be talking to staff and leadership, the leadership team, and to and specific givers here at Faith, asking for how much would you be willing to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
And often it's in that initial phase, and that phase is actually going to be happening the first weekend of November.
Okay.
And so if you're a staff leadership team or you're one of the givers at Faith who's quite faithful in terms of everything, then I would encourage you to keep that weekend free. And then after that weekend, we're going to have an all-church banquet on the on December 12th,
yeah.
and we're going to invite everyone to participate, and that hasn't been asked yet. And we're going to be very bold in our asking and say, please participate. You know, 100% participation, no matter the amount.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we get all those pledges, we will have an understanding. Okay, this is how much we think we can fund.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will go to our architect with whom we've already been in conversation, and we'll say, okay, we have this chunk of money, and we think we can afford a project that looks like X.
Mm-hmm.
We are hoping that actual construction down here and outside would be in the summer of 2026.
Okay. Yeah. So that's roughly the timeline that we're looking at. Do we have an estimated cost yet?
Very likely. Okay. Everyone just pause right now and recognize that the number Brad is going to give is not set in stone anywhere.
Right.
Okay. In initial conversations with our architect, we're probably looking at anywhere from $2 million to $2.3 million.
Okay. So a grant, okay. So $2 to $2.3 million. Would there be debt involved in this project?
Okay, so well, it all depends on how much we raise.
Yeah.
So let's say the project is going to cost $2.3 million, and well, right now we have a mortgage for let's say I think it's like $450,000, somewhere mm-hmm. around there.
Yeah.
Okay, so a stretch goal we could make is, well, we're hoping we'll raise $2.75 million
mm-hmm.
To cover everything. Then we don't have any debt.
Yep.
Now, that said, a good chunk of our congregation has mortgages under $450,000. And so if we go into debt, we will only go into debt. Constitutionally, we have to have the congregation, the members of the congregation approve
mm-hmm.
Us taking out on more debt.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hoping we won't have to, but we might have to. The mortgage we have right now is pretty small for a church with our annual budget.
Yeah. And would there be like a short, so even if we pledge, say, $2.3 million, would there be like a short-term financing
yep.
through the denomination to cover the initial construction costs that is then paid back?
Yeah, so we are very blessed in our denomination to have something that is called National Covenant Properties. National Covenant Properties is a wing of our congregation designed specifically to help churches do what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, they would be financing that initial part, and we would be participating with them and paying them back over time through what we raise, through what everyone gives.
Yeah. So we don't have to raise the full $2.3 million before starting construction.
Correct.
Is what I'm understanding.
Okay. Correct. Yep.
And so, and we kind of just asked this, but does the church vote on this? Yes. If there's a debt that needs to be taken on, the church votes on it. And I believe it's a 2/3 majority needed to pass to take on debt.
That I don't remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
More to come on that.
More to come on that, yeah.
Ask that question sometime. The last question I have is, does the church, do the people in the congregation, do we get to provide feedback on the design, whether it's carpet choices, wall colors, floor plans, to what level, who gets to be involved with those aspects
of Great question. The plan? I recall from the last time we've done this and other capital campaigns I've been involved in, the metaphor I use is, let's say a family decides they want to renovate the kitchen, okay? But let's say there are 300 people in the family. Everyone in the family has an opinion about what should happen with the kitchen. And so we are a congregationally led congregation, but we have elected representatives called the leadership team, and we have a staff that is responsible for leading those main choices. Even, let's say we were going to renovate the kitchen at a home, I'm of the opinion that a good designer and a person who's a professional at kitchen remodeling is the best person to ask when you want to remodel the kitchen.
Right.
Rather than just going from Pastor Brad's or my wife Jill's opinions. And so, just like we did in the upstairs, we will be leaning highly on our architect and the designers within their architectural firm for them to look at the lay of the land and what current reality is in the design, and to say, here where we see you could use some improvements design-wise that will help facilitate the ministry of the church. And so we'll be leaning on them. By the time this airs, we will have had a congregational meeting. That meeting is happening the Sunday after this particular recording, and we're actually showing some visuals, some initial drawings, to just to give us an idea as to what direction these renovations could take, and they're quite fun to see.
Yeah, and so a quick question about this architect. It's Station 19, yet correct?
Mm-hmm.
Have we worked with them before?
Yeah, so we had a very good experience working with Station 19 in our first phase. And I let me add this too. If COVID hadn't hit, all of this would have been done already.
Yeah,
because our plan in phase one was that we were going to do phase one over a 3-year period, and then right after we finish that 3-year commitment pledge-wise, we're going to go right into phase two. But COVID hit, and it sent everyone for a loop. And so now we feel we're finally back in strong footing and ready to go to the next phase, into phase two.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, Station 19 was also the architect that originally designed the worship center part, I think.
Yeah, the person who designed the worship center piece, I believe, was one of the founders of Station 19. He's no longer there, but you're correct.
And Station 19 also, they're primary focus is church architecture and church projects. So they not only are familiar with our building and our needs, but they're also looking at what a lot of churches in the area are doing and how they are maximizing their space. So very experienced firm in architecture with how to do this sort of thing.
Absolutely. I should say, I just want to jump back to what you said about does a congregation get to give input? Absolutely. So if you have input, don't hesitate to bring it. I've just wanted to, what we're doing is we're talking to staff who use it the most. All the people that use it the most, these are the people we're really asking, what improvements could we make that would help you do ministry?
Going back to the cost, my understanding is that the original or the first phase of the renovation of the upstairs, that was in the $2 million range. This is also in the $2 million range. What's the reasons for them being so similar in cost? Is that mainly the increase of construction prices in the last 7 years?
You're asking the wrong guy. But I do know that due to the nature of a lot of the interior stuff that we need to do, like the stuff behind the walls, the HVAC stuff, there's some parking stuff we need. We were hoping to deal with
to make things more accessible.
Right. You know, we did exterior stuff in the upstairs, and we have a fair amount of exterior stuff we want to do in this phase as well.
Yeah.
So, and you know, we're hoping we can keep costs exactly where we want them to be, but it is more expensive to build right now than it was
7 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of information for people to digest.
Fun stuff, huh?
Yeah. By the time this airs, we'll have had that congregational meeting. So there's still plenty of time for people to ask questions so they can reach out. And
everyone asks questions. Everyone, you know, don't hesitate to voice your fears. I will say I've been a part of numerous endeavors like this in congregations in my 30-plus years in ministry. Not one of them has been a bad experience for the congregation.
Mm.
Actually, each time it has strengthened the congregation, we've seen that God provides in ways that we never thought or imagined. Mm. And so it's always been kind of a great growth opportunity each time I've seen a congregation go through this.
Last question I'll ask, what are you most excited about with the possibilities of this whole campaign?
The thing I'm most excited about is some of the exterior stuff.
Mm.
I so want the people who drive by our church to look at the facility and say, that church is doing stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a church only for yesterday. Mm. That's a church of now and for next. And so that's what I'm most excited about.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. If you as a listener or a viewer has any questions, please let us know. We're always here for that. I won't be the expert, but I'll be happy if you send your questions to me. My email address will be listed in the show description. So if you email me, I can direct your question to wherever it needs to go for that, because I will not be the expert on this project. So yeah, if you have any questions, please let us know. You'll be getting a lot more information as time goes on. We'll be seeing renderings very soon.
We'll be talking about it every Sunday in one way or another. Yeah.
So you'll hear it, and we're calling this campaign, we should probably say, is Faith Makes History.
Yeah, yeah, Faith Makes History.
What's the reasoning behind kind of that title?
Born out of Hebrews 11, where we have this great story of the workings of faith in God's people throughout the centuries, we see that when people put their trust in God, history gets changed for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that in the story of our congregation. You know, a lot of people spent time and money trusting God with the future. And we are the recipients of their faith. And we stand on their shoulders. And so we want to make history again. Oh, I almost forgot one of the most important things.
Oh?
Forgive me. We also, the leadership team, prayerfully decided to tithe the campaign. So 10% of this campaign is actually going to go outside of our doors.
Oh, okay.
To serve. We're very likely going to talk about it in this context, here, near, and far.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're hoping, we've already decided that we're going to not, think of it this way. If Jill and I suddenly received a boatload of cash, well, we tithe to our church home already.
Mm-hmm.
If we received this money, well, it would be incumbent upon us to tithe on that money as well.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is happening here. We already tithe as a congregation through to local and global ministries, and we actually give more than 10%. With this campaign, we're getting a chunk of change in, and so we feel it is incumbent upon us to tithe that portion. And so we're thinking about local and global ministries. We're praying about what is a way we can make an impact for the kingdom, not only on this property, but outside of this property.
Fantastic.
With this campaign. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on to share more about this. And like we said, you'll be hearing a lot more about this. We'll be communicating with the excuse me, we'll be communicating with the congregation through a variety of different means. Wow, what just happened to my voice? We'll be communicating with the congregation through a variety of channels throughout this process. So more to come on all of this. I'm excited to see the renderings.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah. So thank you very much again for watching or for listening today. Have a wonderful and blessed day.
Thanks all.